episode 273. Maybe you're already successful.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to the David Trick Show, the Trick Podcast with Joy and Gozo TV, where we are going gozo. What? The weather's got you down. The brakes of your car didn't seem to work anymore, bro. Looking at your wallet at that waist and wondering, bro, what is going on? Don't worry, my dear gozo friend. Let's spend the next few minutes talking about grace, talking about joy, talking about go, talking about gozo today. Here at the Trig Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV, I want to talk to you about maybe you are already successful. Maybe you are already the success that you long to have. So I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts by my friend Cliff Ravenscraft. And he's a virtual friend. I've never met him, but I feel like he's a friend. And then he was mentioning his friend's podcast, Dan Miller. So I was listening to his podcast, and especially Dan Miller was talking about this idea of being successful. And that was really interesting. Then last week, I think it was, I posted on Facebook. By the way, you can follow me on Facebook at David Trigueros LA. And I posted something about how I'm a very competitive person, and I want to succeed at everything. And then someone joked about succeeding at a beauty pageant. But then somebody else wrote, "What does success mean to you?" And first of all, I have to tell you, I despise that question because I feel like it's trying to cut my feet from under me, as if the only success that we should have is to love God and love Him forever. I think that there's more to it than that. So I don't really like answering or even thinking about that because, as I said, I feel like people will judge what success means to me. And so I'll tell you what success means to me, I think at the end of the day, is to fulfill everything that I'm supposed to do in this life. And I would say that though that includes financial success, fitness success, and then career success. And so that's what success means to me. Now, at the same time, back to the Dan Miller show on success, he started with the traditional, or with the classic, I should say, story of the American MBA business owner and the Mexican fisherman. Have you heard that story? I won't go through the whole thing, but basically it ends, kind of the moral of the story is that maybe you already have what you want to have. And it got me thinking about that very question in my life. Maybe I already am successful. Maybe I already have everything that I want to have. And I don't mean that as just a perspective thing, as in, if I think more that way, then I will be happier. I don't mean it that way alone. I actually mean it as in, maybe I've already accomplished all my dreams. Even though my body isn't where it is, where I want it to be, my financial status or levels aren't where I want them to be, and my career and business goals are not where I want them to be. So then how could I possibly entertain the idea of already being successful? So if you have a similar question, by the way, please go ahead and send me an email at trig@davidtrigg.com and just let me know, what questions do you have about success? Are you wanting to be successful? Maybe now that you're in your 50s and 60s, are you still, I mean, I would imagine you're still wanting to be successful. Or are you the type of person that already feels successful and you've surrendered, quote unquote, the results up to God? And maybe that's what success means at the end of the day. And maybe that's what the Facebook comment was trying to get at, is that regardless of goals or financial levels or fitness goals, maybe the success is to surrender your success to God. And back to Dan Miller, that's what he was quoting. He was quoting the verse out of Philippians 4, I believe, where Paul is saying that whether he has much or he has little, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And really, he's saying that he's content. He's learned to be content in every situation. And maybe contentment is, I don't know if that's success, but maybe contentment is the kryptonite or the spiritual answer to success. And so I'm wrestling with these things because I think a lot of people, especially those of us that are who are achievers and highly competent people and who are creative, entrepreneurs, healers, type A personalities, driven people, we are always wanting the next best thing. I know that's true for me. So now, why would I say that I'm already successful, that perhaps I'm already successful? Well, I'm going to go down a few things that I was thinking about, and some of them are very emotional for me. And I think that's a good thing. Number one, I'm successful in my marriage. When I think of my lovely wife, Rochelle, of almost 23 years here in about a month or so, August 19th, 1995, so it'll be 23 years in just a few days, I can't help but think and feel successful. I really feel successful in my marriage. And I mean, knowing who I am, knowing my ups and downs, knowing obviously the culture that we live in, the pressures that couples go through, the ups and downs, especially financially, that we've been through, ministry-wise, as well as, primarily when it comes to ministry. And as I said, in this day and age when couples just change mates like they change shoes, or they're stuck, I guess, in dissatisfied marriages, or perhaps, like many people, people get divorced all the time, or the husband cheats, or the wife just finally has had enough. And so in that culture that surrounds us, to with my whole heart say that I date my wife, we went on a date just a few days ago, that I love my wife, that I have an intimate relationship with my wife, that we are one, that we know each other, that I respect her, that I honor her, that she does the same thing with me, that we are one in every area of our marriage, from ministry to kids when they were small, to finances, to duties around the house. I mean, okay, I'm not saying that I do the dishes all the time like I should, but I get in there. And of course, I mean, she's an angel in my life. It's a success. I feel that's something to be thankful for. Number two is our children, our teens. The same thing goes. I mean, not that we're done, not that they are. I don't know if you're ever done, right? Say amen to that. But we have a 19-year-old who's in a private university going to London, who has a successful business, who's won at every level, who's kind, sweet, who does video for the church, who goes with us to every church event every week. We have a 17-year-old who babysits, who does the slides at church, who loves us, who is respectful, who tells us where she's going to be, who is 17 and the middle child, so we're not saying that these kids are perfect. And then we have a 15-year-old boy who is beautiful, respectful, loves worship, loves the church, loves to play the drums, loves music. And we have these three kids who are bilingual, who eat dinner with us pretty much every time there is dinner at home with us, or we have a time together, who respect their parents, who love their parents, who have had a stable life around them, who, yes, they've been through the ups and downs of church with us. It's not an easy life. Just imagine being the kids of the president of the United States. I mean, it's a very similar lifestyle. Being in the public eye, criticized, you know, all the ins and outs of a church. And they are spectacular. Our children have won at every level. They are humble. They are hardworking. They're imperfect. And I can say that that's been a success, and that's something that I am very proud of and thankful for. Third, I would say a career. Both of us, my wife and I, are doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Exactly. She will soon be a principal. She's a vice principal right now, and she's been that for 3 years. And whether this summer or next summer, I know it'll happen. She is a gifted administrator, gifted teacher, gifted leader. My wife also loves the church. She serves there. She teaches the young women. She does the announcements. She opens our home to young adults, to women of all ages. She supports me always in the front row every time that I'm up there speaking or doing my thing. She is a lover of kids, a lover of Jesus, a worshiper herself. This is not a just something that she does to put up with me. She loves the church. She loves Jesus herself. And then in terms of my career, I feel the same way. I am a lead pastor, which I've been now for almost 10 years. I'm a worshiper and a worship leader. I love music. God's given me a huge heart for music and singing and writing and playing. Even just last night, I had the chance to play with my own son in a really awesome worship band that we have in a really nice facility with great sound and all the rest, doing some awesome worship songs at this church in Costa Mesa. So career-wise, I feel like I am doing exactly what we want to do. Financially, you know, we're not rich, but we are able to do basically what we enjoy doing. And my online business hasn't taken off yet, but I know that in time that will, and we'll be able to do even more things, travel more and go to more concerts and help even more people and give away more of our income to people in need, people that need it. Things that we already do and we can't wait to do more of. And even though my online business isn't yet taking off, but the fact that I am in the game, that I love technology and media and podcasting, I've been doing this now for 10 years, doing my online business for 5, it is something that I feel that even though, yes, I don't have the millions of dollars coming in, that just to be in the game is a success. So that's number 3. Number 4 is my fitness, absolutely, and all of our fitness goals as a family, not just mine. We are healthy individuals. We have, by the grace of God, health care. I have all the gear that I could ever imagine. I even had a personal trainer at the beginning of this year. She ended up getting really busy with school and work, but so I don't have her now. But I have not only her, you know, at some point perhaps I'll work with her again, but I have all this gear, a punching bag, a treadmill, weights, blah, blah, blah. And my wife, I think even soon here, she's going to be working out in the living room with her DVD. She's in shape. She's beautiful. She is a powerful woman. She loves to work out. As long as I can remember, I've been watching her do that. And so we both influence our kids in those ways. All 3 of our children, in their own way, they are into fitness and into healthy eating. 2 of them are vegan. And our son is a very strict eater, even though he's, I don't know, weighs maybe like, what, 50 pounds? He's a lanky young man. But he is taking surfing lessons. He plays drums. He's taking drum lessons. I've taken him since he was 5 years old. Let's see, number 5, whatever. We have amazing friendships. We have influenced the lives of many people in our 25 years of ministry and marriage. From Long Beach to Colorado to LA to Santa Ana to Bellflower and Cypress, to everywhere that God has led us, we have had the chance to influence people significantly. From Lawndale, where my wife has worked, to also Bellflower, to Colorado, and many different schools where my beautiful wife has taught or been an administrator. We both have influenced a ton of people and have developed amazing friendships. We're not the type that have 50 friends. We're more like 3 or 4 friends. I have 2 or 3 beautiful friends that I really enjoy, mentors in my life that I call every week, every month to check in regarding personal habits, regarding career goals, regarding marriage. The same thing with my wife. She has her sisters who she talks to every week. She has her parents that are just basically 20 minutes down the road. I have my mom who comes here every year and who I have a relationship with, and I have the privilege to have had my dad for a long time, even though I didn't spend too much time with my father, but his influence is forever in me. My sisters, who are also always praying for me and me for them. I mean, we have a dog, for goodness sake. You know, we have Daisy the dog and a bunny. I mean, and we have a beautiful house that we love, that we've remodeled. It's a two-story house with a backyard, a front yard, and four cars in the garage. I mean, not that those things are everything, but, you know, you want to have comforts, right, in this life. And our kids live here by the grace of God. And I, as I've said before, I hope they never leave. But, you know, they've had experiences, amazing experiences, from living in Colorado and being in the Rocky Mountains to driving their own cars and having their own businesses. Canela, as you know, she has won many awards as a beauty pageant, as a YouTuber, as a social media content creator, as a star in many ways. I mean, she's had little girls, 11, 12 year olds at the mall, like recognize her and want to take pictures with her because of YouTube. And then she modeled for different agencies and her picture was literally on the walls at the mall. I mean, I had friends send me pictures of my own daughter as they walked through the stores at the mall. I mean, those are wonderful things and experiences that our kids have had. And so maybe I'm already successful. Maybe you also. I'm sure as you heard my list, you probably have the same list. I have, oh yeah, how can I not mention? I mentioned friends, but I have such beautiful, I guess, work friends. I mean, there are more than that to me, but I have these two or three amazing partners in crime that I love so much. I mean, they are truly just beautiful partners to me in at work that I just I thank God for. And if you know the church work, it's not always that way. And to actually have a team around me that loves me, that we work together, that we challenge each other, encourage each other. I mean, it's just that respects each other. It's a beautiful thing. I haven't had that in at least 10 to 15 years. I think I've only had that twice in my whole life. And this is the second time. What a beautiful, beautiful life that I live. And I guess what I was going to say is, you might feel the same way, right? You probably feel the same way. And maybe this is normal to you. You might be the type of person who always thinks about this. And I am thankful for you. And I'm embarrassed that I don't think this way. I know that I am a very driven person, competitive, and I'm always wanting more. That is how I am. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's how leaders and creatives and people who change the world, stars like we are, that's how we're made. But I do believe that this house, I'm looking at my little picture here, this house called Trust, the house that Jesus built called Trust. If you want to know more about what I'm talking about, you can go back to my podcast, I think two or three episodes ago. I talked about having to rebuild my house and remodel my house from ego to trust. And I feel like I am living in this dream house and this dream life, even though I struggle with ego and with wanting my name to be known and wanting fame and wanting to be acknowledged. Even though I struggle with those things, I'm surrendering them to Jesus every day. I have his word in my heart. I mean, how can I forget? I mean, that's the foundation to everything that we do and I do as a man and as a family is our relationship with God and his love for us. Jesus' grace and his spirit, his calling, the fact that he saved us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And now both of us, we have a chance to tell the world about that every day through our work, through our speaking, this podcast, through online stuff, mentoring, et cetera, et cetera. You know, my wife, being a woman of God in her own way at a public school, having that influence upon teachers and administrators and children and parents, we really are living the dream. And as I said, maybe to you this is duh, like normal, but to someone like me, and maybe you can relate to me, it's not common, nor is it easy to feel successful. I'm an Enneagram 3 INFJ, and as I've mentioned, that means you're a high achiever. But the problem with that, or the phallus, or not the virtue, but what do they call that? The vice is that I'm always dealing with feelings of failure. That because I don't have two PhDs and make $1 million, that therefore I'm a failure. And not just my work, but I personally am a failure. That because I'm not wearing a size 33 pants and have muscles popping out of my t-shirts like I did 10 years ago, that therefore I'm a failure. That's the problem with being a high achiever. That's the problem with being a driven type A personality who wants more. And as I said, that's not a bad thing. That's a gift from heaven. But it also needs to be surrendered to Jesus. That drive to succeed. I mean, David had it. Saul had it. Abraham had it. Without a doubt, Paul had it. I mean, talk about a driven man. Peter, no doubt he had it. All these men and women were Enneagram 3 INFJs, is my guess, and high achievers. And all of them had to go through a season of trust, of having to trust God and letting go of that ego-centered lifestyle that really wasn't helping anyone. And I feel like that's what's going on in my life, and that's been happening for at least 10 years. And I feel thankful that I am moving more and more deeper into knowing that that's God's desire for me. I mean, for goodness sake, I make a living speaking and singing every Sunday morning. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? When I see, our car was being towed back to somewhere from the Grand Canyon, and I was in the truck with I forget his name, Melvin from Tennessee, I believe, or from Nashville. Yeah, Nashville, Tennessee. Maybe he was from somewhere else in the South, but a guy about my age, maybe a little bit older, and had never left the city where he grew up, and drives a tow truck, and he's been doing that for 30 years. And by the way, I would do that without a doubt. I would love to do that. Talking to people, helping people, yes. So I'm not looking down on anyone. But would I want to drive a tow truck at 50 or speak and sing at 50? Yes, sign me up every time. And as far as salary and convenience and all that stuff and lifestyle, I'm sure that God has blessed me and he's blessed him in different ways. But you get my point, right? We all know people who deal with worse things than we do. And yes, being a leader is painful and lonely, and my goodness, but I would not trade it for the world. It's what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, and it's success. Just the fact that I am here is a success, and that I have remained here. And the same goes for you. So I guess my invitation for you today is, I guess there are two kinds of people out there, perhaps. Maybe you are the type who is already thankful. You already feel successful. Maybe my challenge to you is, how can you push yourself further? In what area do you need to become fearless once again? Have you become stagnant? Have you grown lazy? But second, if you're more like me and you are never satisfied, are you already successful? And do you need to actually let that sink in and make a list like I just did? And let that do two things. One is to give you joy, give you goals so that you made it. And then second, let that be an invitation to live in the house of trust built. Let that be an invitation to you that whatever is next is going to be an act of God based on your trust in God. And that, as Proverbs 3 says, that he knows the plans he has for you. And they are not plans to hurt you or of calamity, but to give you a purpose and a hope that whatever you want to accomplish in your life, financially, in your family, in your fitness goals, in your housing situation, in your relationships, that whatever you have yet to accomplish will only come as a result of you trusting in God. And then, as Paul said, that you would live in that zone of contentment, in that zone of genius that is called trust, that is called gratitude, that is called thankfulness, that is called, I'm already a success. And maybe the third type of person who's out there, maybe you are not successful. Maybe in every metric that you have, you don't feel successful. Maybe the third challenge is, go out there and get it. What are you waiting for? To pursue your God-given adventure, to overcome and to find grace in your crisis, and to discover who you love. What are you waiting for? This is your wake-up call. Do not hesitate. Do not wait. Go for your dreams. Do it from a spirit of contentment and trust and gratitude. And if you are already there, share that love with other people. Reach new heights. Go the extra mile. Reach new levels. And most of all, thank God for the life that we live. Thank you again. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.